This is the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast. Acta non verba.
Welcome to Barbarian Rhetoric. Today, I have Jerry, Anthony, and Colton on with me, your host, Nathan. All these men here today have sons that are teenagers. Most of them, I think we're all in the 14 range. Mine's about to turn 14. Colton's is 14. Anthony's, yours is 14, correct? And Jerry's, yours is...
Mine's 17.
17. So you're on the upper, so this is good. We got a nice thing, you know, going into it. We're going to talk about preteen, getting into there, and what these young men are facing and what we're doing to help prepare them in the next few years with all the crazy that's going on in the world. So we'll go around. Jerry, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I've been a father, like I said, 17-year-old son. I've worked in the steel industry for 30-some years now and worked my way up in the steel industry and still learning as a father. Son and I like to do a lot of things outdoors. So, I don't know. That's a little bit about me.
There we go. Anthony, we've had on here before. If some of you guys remember our first round table that we had, he was on with a bunch of words of wisdom.
Yeah. How you doing, Nathan?
Doing good.
Yep. My name is Anthony. I am the creator of peacefulfathers.com. I have three children, two girls who are 22 and 19, and a 14-year-old son. So I've been doing this for a long time, and I'm looking forward to having a conversation so we can help other fathers out there the best possible ways and things to do to raise happy and healthy kids.
And what was it? Last episode? I think it was last episode we talked about that. And the website's up. We may have a little... hiccups, but it's up. So that's awesome. Moving forward. Colton, our resident savage, and raising several young savages. Give us a little bit.
Yep, I'm Colton. I have four kids. Two of those are 14-year-old boys. So we kind of have double the fun there. A veteran. With that, me and my wife had our oldest two at a rather young age, so we've been learning and kind of going along with the quickness. So this is one of those things where I gather and appreciate, you know, thoughts from others, especially the 17-year-old. Like you got a lot to learn there, so I'm hitting it at twice the speed.
There you go. Always. All right, let's start off. Let's think back. We'll all go back into our memories. For me, it's only a couple years ago. Jerry, a little bit more. What were they facing when they were hit those preteen years? Let's say between 11, 12, you know, getting ready to turn 13. What was the challenges as they were going into teenage years and getting to that teen year and preparing them? Because you're getting out of that grade school mentality. You're in that middle school realm. You know, the hormones are starting to rage and stuff. What was some of the challenges and what are you looking at as they became a teenager, like right before?
Is that for Jerry?
It's for, go ahead, Anthony. You're talking.
All right. So my son is 14. I think when he was going from that transition, it's four. What are you figuring? Like 10 years old, 10, 11,
yeah,
getting
10,
into
11,
teenagers.
12, right there. Yeah.
For me, the process was pretty easy. And I mean, easy watching him go through it, because prior to that, I had to do a lot of work with myself. And I think that being open and communicating and my son looking at me and knowing that, you know, when he's faced with problems or he has issues, that he's not going to get a harsh reaction from me. He wasn't going to get content or disgust. He kind of knew as he was going along the path that these were things that I've worked on for a while, and these were, you know, the way that my house runs. So we you know, I was continually working on building a house on trust and connection. So I really didn't notice the transition too much. Right? I didn't really see him struggle. You know, maybe he was hiding it from me a little bit, but which I think is normal, right? You're not going to tell your dad everything. But now that he's 14, you know, I think one thing I look back on, and I might have instilled maybe a little bit too much independence, because I'm starting to reflect on that a little bit, and I see him that he might not need me as much as I need him. And where I value the time, if he even sits down and talks to me, if he sits on at the couch and we have a conversation, I value that a lot, because the rest of the time he's busy doing his thing, man. He's, you know, whether it's hanging out with friends or playing video games or going to play football at the park, he's always on course. He's always doing what he has to do. So it's a challenge.
It is. And that brings up, when I was thinking about this, is the roller coaster. And one of the biggest things that hit me as Mayan was going through is he didn't know if he wanted to be the little kid and we go hang out and do some of the fun stuff, or we flip and he's like, oh no, I'm an adult. And I had to learn, that was my challenge. I had to learn which position is he in. And it could flip daily, hourly. Oh, shoot. Sometimes get in the car to go someplace, it could flip. So, Jerry, what, you have any thoughts on this?
I think with what Anthony said, I think I didn't notice any like real big struggles. I the one thing I remember that I noticed is I think it's about that time that he started, and maybe a little bit later than that, but he just kind of started pulling away a little bit from mom and started looking to me. And the thing that my son's done since he was 5 years old is, you know, hiking and things like that, and getting outside and getting outdoors. And I just noticed that he was starting to be more drawn to dad and the things of dad. And so I think those years are the years where you start to realize as a father the role that you're playing in your son's life. It starts to settle in on you a little bit more then, because up until that time, kind of under the wings of mom and dad together, and now he starts to look at you a little differently. And so, you know, what Anthony was saying, you start to think about who you are as a man and what are you portraying? Are you being the one that, are you being the right model? And so I kind of saw that with him. And so I didn't necessarily see the struggle with my son. I just started to, the weight of it all started to settle in at that time for me, right around that age, preteen.
I can relate to that. Colton, you have the interesting dynamic because you have the twins. Did they kind of go to just, you know, challenge each other and push each other through and stay abreast of each other? Or did one jump ahead or move back and, you know, one play the leader, one the follower? How does that dynamic work as they became teens?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. One of, through their personalities, I guess, one, they have, you know, specific traits. So one is kind of more outspoken and one's a little quieter. The quieter one is more of a thinker, while the other one kind of, as soon as it hits his head, it's out of his mouth, you know. So they have kind of an interesting dynamic there, but they've always really been like a team together. Like they still are. Our background in the military, we started homeschooling. So at about the 10, you know, about that mark is when we put them into public school. So they had a big change from what they were used to, you know, kind of being in their own world a little bit with homeschool. And they did sports and outside activities, but that introduced kind of a whole new dynamic for them. And I could tell there was anxieties and like pressures and stuff they weren't really used to, but they actually adapted pretty quickly. Like, you know, a handful of years into it now, you wouldn't know. So they're pretty resilient like that, but they've always kind of been like a buddy system, and like fighting and other stuff like that is actually, I'm constantly surprised at how little they go back and forth or fight. Like I had some friends that were twins growing up, and that you would think they were worst enemies half the time. So
Well, that's good, though, that they're working a team, and that'll carry through, you know, hopefully into adulthood and beyond, and continue to support each other. And that leads into the middle teen years, and we've touched this a little bit, and some of the challenges that are coming at them right now. Besides all the, you know, wonderful shutdown and everything else going down, one of the biggest things that, because my son is such a socialite, he likes being around people. He wants to be around his friends. And the hardest thing about all of this is with the shutdowns, he wasn't going to school, so he wasn't getting his socialization. And then on top of that, it turned around that a lot of the parents wouldn't let their kids out to play. So even the ones that were local to play, he wasn't allowed to socialize. And this led into the dynamic, which he already has his Xbox, and I let him play, and he has that social aspect of things. And I let him have more of that and didn't push him, because that became his social outlet. If he didn't have a social outlet, he was even worse than, you know, it wasn't even pestering. He'd just get into like a moping stage. But I'm lucky that he self-moderates enough that he does go outside and play, and he wants to go do stuff. He'd rather go play basketball with them than talk on Xbox with them. But when all that there was, so, and that ties into the other thing of peer pressure in the social peer pressure that's out there. Something that we all have to be cognizant of, we have to watch. And that's been a balance for me, one, during the shutdown, and two, I don't want them to get, you know, hammered on it. Have you guys had to deal with the social sides of things? What has your sons, from that society pressure coming in from there, did they up their, you know, get on gaming or use their phones more or connect that way? Or did they just kind of withdraw a little bit? How did those dynamics work?
I think for my house, it's a little different. One, there's four kids and they're all kind of close in age, so they're like their own little network there. But specifically to the teen boys, they're always together, so they always have each other kind of for that. I think they're a little less social probably than most, or reliance on it, because they've had each other, you know, their whole life. They don't know any situation where there's just one of them. Like if it's me and one of them, it becomes a whole different conversation a feel to it that is even not, you know, normal for me. Like it's like you get a whole different side of the duo when you just get one of them. So they're always together. So we did kind of let up on a little bit of the game stuff, you know, being somewhat forced to stay at home, but we had a lot of moments where we just tell them to go outside, you know, all of them, the whole group, go out, get bored, have fun.
Go find a stick. You know, that was my dad's answer. Go find a stick.
Yeah, kind of like that. We're fortunate enough to have a little room outside for them to do that, and, you know, without immediate neighbors being around. But so my take might be a little different. I got a whole team here.
And that's still good. I think that's what, you know, that's part of this podcast. You know, what other guys, what dynamics are they working with and looking at it from different angles? So That's interesting in itself. You know, to guys that have twins out there, or, you know, younger ones or triplets or whatever growing up, there's I would never have thought of that, you know, not having to deal with it. So, no, that's good. And Anthony and Jerry are staring at each other.
Well, my guys, we've moved a lot. And so he's kind of used to doing his thing. And I was going to say, when we were talking about the earlier ages, that's also the time where I noticed something in my son where he was, and I tried to play into this, he was good with doing his own thing. He didn't have to have somebody else's, you know, he didn't need to be validated by someone else. He just did his own thing. And I like that about him. And so, you know, we've loosened up a little bit on some things with screen time, and we've set some different boundaries about some things about that. But he hasn't been overly social. So he really, his life didn't change much. Now what I did do, and you guys are aware, is I, you know, he and I are getting ready to go do a hike. And so we started working out together, and I started pouring into him even more, knowing that he wasn't going to school, he wasn't being around other people and things like that. And so, you know, I started kind of zeroing in and being a lot more intentional. We started working on a business on the side and just started doing some projects and things like that because of how different things were. And it was important for me to keep his head on the right types of things. And so, but I haven't really faced the social thing. And I think a lot of it is because of his personality and because of his experiences of having moved all over the country. He's to the point now where he's kind of good with, okay, I like having friends, but I can also roll on my own at the same time. So again, my experience might be even a little bit different than Colton's, and I'm sure it's different than Anthony's also.
And I can understand moving. I used to joke, when I was 16, I'd moved 16 times. I currently now, come this August, I will have lived the longest in one place in my entire life. So that is a small accomplishment. So, and that's part of, that's the flip side. I'm more like your son in that aspect of, yeah, I just do my own thing because I had to learn, where I've set it up where my boy, you know, on the opposite of that. So what do you got for us, Anthony? He's thinking there. He's on his second, third coffee.
I would say, you know, something that helped me as being a father is I stopped falling into the trap that the world is crumbling and there's always bad things happening. And I focus more on being a positive influencer to my son. It's because I didn't want him to go out and think that things were bad. I wanted him to be the kind of man who was going to go and look for solutions and solve problems and make the world better. And I think a big part of that comes back to my parenting and how I raise my kids, where I'm constantly looking how I can improve. And when my kids act out or when they have bad behaviors, I don't make it about them. I make it about me and how I can be better. And I kind of think of, my kids as like chickens. And we,
they're going to listen to this. That's going to be good.
No, but like on the chicken farm. And the reason I say it is the word free range. I think of my kids as like free range children. I don't want to trap them. I don't want to hold them down. And sometimes that means letting them make mistakes, letting them fall, and even letting them not listen to me, right? I don't need to enforce rules all the time. I don't want my home to be something that's, this is how it is, this is what you have to do. I want them, you know, I want my kid to be able to grow up and be a man who has direction and follows guidance because he knows he's going in a good direction, not because it was forced on him. And, you know, I try to get away from the narrative, like, you know, the real world is tough, right? You're going to you know, you have to go get a job and you have to listen to your boss and you have to pay taxes and all this bullshit that gets thrown at us. And the reason why I call it bullshit is because, yeah, life is tough, but constantly being beaten down is not going to prepare you to face harder challenges, right? Taking the time, communicating, and, you know, being a really good influence is what I've seen has helped my son the most, you know, as far as him going into adulthood and starting this journey on being a man. So I focus more on the type of man I want him to be. And I get a lot of feedback by showing him that through myself, right? Being that example. And it's tough to do, right? You always have to keep yourself in check.
See, and this is why I love Anthony, and we have great talks, because he led into what I was going to ask next. So, and that works perfectly. I'll hit you up, Colton. What are you looking at for the next years from here to 18 when they hit, you know, adulthood, which basically is 21 now since they – I just found this out that they lit what? They raised the age for tobacco or whatever up to 21. It's like you can go off to war. You can go off to war at age of 17 or 18, but now you can't drink or smoke or make these choices for yourself until you're 21. So it's like they keep moving the age limit up of adulthood or something. I don't know. But what are you looking forward into the next few years?
A little bit of free range, like Anthony was saying. We have the typical cycle, right, that we're supposed to follow. You know, do good in school and go to college and then go work for somebody and pay taxes and. I don't really care about any of that. I mean, that's somewhat the path that I took. I might have gone in the military, but I went to school and I worked for a company. And so with that, they have natural interests. Like, I mean, they're boys. They like things with motors that go fast and cars and dirt bikes and all this stuff. So I've tried to find a way to support that. You know, that's, if they're going to do something, like, it's kind of a cliche, you do what you love and go to work and be happy every day. For some that's possible, for some it's not. You get lucky, you don't, you make whatever you make out of it. But right now they've been working on go-karts, you know, like they got a good deal on a couple of them. They fixed them up. We've sold one of them. They've profited from it. And that whole experience, you know, they did like a motor swap. They learned about how engines operate. And I've let them do a lot of it on their own. Like, they get stuck with something and they come to me. But for the most part, I'm telling them to figure it out, and that I don't expect you to know how to do it, but you're going to learn and you're going to remember it because, that, you know, you're interested in it and you solve the problem. But what that translates to for us over time is they keep doing this. It might be dirt bikes, four-wheelers, a motorcycle. It all translates into direct experience later when they're 18, 19, 20, that if that's still what they want to do, they don't necessarily have to go to college to get a finance degree to, you know, support what they're doing. Maybe they have to go to college because they lack in an area of business that they want to know more about. But maybe it isn't a college class. Maybe we have somebody that can help them out, you know, via a network of friends. So I'm trying to just naturally support that, not kind of enforce the narrative. I mean, they happen to do great in school. If they choose to go to college, I've laid out, you know, ways that they can, you have scholarships and some other paths, but I've also made it pretty clear of what degrees I think are piles of crap. So I share stuff along the way, like, not so much just to give them, you know, a mindset or what I think as like rule, but for them to think about it and kind of understand where I'm coming from and understand what's out there that they don't, you know, they don't understand at this point in time. So I think I'm trying to do my best to, like, the free range comment, to let them run into and develop, you know, what they're going to want to do versus following what the guidance counselor said.
Yeah, let them be chickens. That's the big takeaway.
Well, my takeaway, more so than chickens, is we're all teaching our sons troubleshooting. You know, here's a problem, look at it, and figure it out yourself. And then when you get stuck, come ask me. And then I'll help you get through that step, and then we let him back. I do that with my own son. I mean, he's learned how to do a lot of things, and I showed him how the wonderful world of YouTube. I'm like, there's a lot of people in there that want to talk about everything. And he's like, they'll teach me how to do this? And I'm like, yep, go look it up there, and it will. And I could, and I teach him a lot, but at the same token, him putting that extra step of research in, one, proves that he really wants to learn it. It's not me just, it's not just dad giving him more words. But then it's like, he'll look something up and be like, well, I want to do this, and this is the steps. Can you help me? Absolutely. You know, because he's laying it out in a follow. And I think fathers that are listening to this, no matter where your son's at, you have to let them get those troubleshooting skills. They need to be forced into the fact to learn this stuff, and they can't just be given all the answers all the time. Even going to YouTube searching for it is part of that process, or to, you know, other media, or reading about it, or getting a book. That's how we learn. We learn from others, but it's not just handed to them. Oh, okay, here you do this. Because too often I see, you know, I should say back when I worked with scouts and stuff, I would see dads go, oh, here, just let me do it. And you're making your son weaker when you do that. That is one of those that you must move forward and make them do those things. And that leads, okay, Jared, we talk, you got several projects going. If we have all the insider knowledge, because I get to talk to Jerry quite often about several things. Let's talk chicken farming, since that's our topic here.
Yeah.
And in that project, what have you seen your son go from? From just, you know, how am I going to... From starting to zero to where he could go with the chicken business of selling eggs and stuff. How has he grown working through that process? Just like Colton was talking, you know, with the go-karts and flipping and stuff, he's hitting it from that farming aspect. What are you seeing with your 17-year-old compared to a 14-year-old?
Well, this ties into what we were just talking about. So one of the things that I've been thinking about a lot as a father and just praying about and just trying to understand as I look at my son is, you know, trying to figure out what's he interested in, where's he going, what's the next step, how can I help prepare him. And so I think one of our roles as a father is to just keep putting our sons in positions where they can learn and determine what is it that I like, what am I geared for. So one of the things that I saw in my son was he loves and has loved for years Mustangs. And so he's like, Dad, I want to buy a Mustang. And I said, well, okay, you know, you need to raise money. And so we started talking about it. He knows everything there is to know about Mustangs, way more than I ever will. Did his research. And so we started talking, and we talked about traditional paths and school and different things like that. And I said, you know, you could run a business. We got a little farm here. And so we started talking, and he said, yeah, we should have chickens. And I would like to have an egg business. And I said, well, I know a guy who has chickens and eggs. And so talked to Colton and started to get some information, and he started doing his research. Mom got involved. And so we started building this thing, and I said, man, this is great, because he's going to learn, you know, how to do a business. He's not going to make a lot of money selling eggs, but it's a foundational thing where he can start to learn some things about what it takes to run a business, the money you got to put in, the work you got to put in, how to market, how to do all these things. And it might not be on a big level, but he starts to learn these foundational things. And he took an interest in it. And started to, work his way through the steps of putting together a business. And like you guys said, I help a lot, but I try to get him to do more and more and more on his own. and make some mistakes and learn and do those kinds of things. So egg business, after we get done here, I'm going to go and we're going to do some work. We're going to do some more work on that. And so that developed into some other ideas then. Well, Dad, I don't know if I'm really going to be able to make a lot of money here. And so he starts thinking about this. And he said, well, what if we did made dog treats? And what if we did? And then he started thinking about more big picture, like brand name, and then maybe two or three or four different things that I can do to make money. So that's how that whole thing started to roll, which is exciting to me because I see him taking an interest, researching, learning, taking a little different path than the average kid. All of that to me is exciting. I like that.
It's not just running the narrative. I think that's a good way of saying it. Free range chickens is another way to say it.
I like it.
I'm going to be remembering that one for a while now. Oh.
But I'd say, Nathan, you know, with that, and Colton hit on a really good point is, you know, let them make mistakes, let them take risks. Boys are risk takers, and they love to take risks. One of the reasons why I climb mountains with my son is because, you know, I can stand back, and especially when he was younger, and I can allow him to take a certain risk. I was always close enough that if he started slipping off an edge, I could grab him by the shirt collar and be there to take care of him. But boys are going to take risks whether you're with them or not. If you can take risk with him and help them kind of manage their way through, most of the time he doesn't know I'm there helping to manage their way through. But boys like to take risk, and it's healthy for them. And so I like that he takes risks. I like that he makes mistakes and he learns from those mistakes. Makes him grow into a man.
I think that whole thing is important for him. Risk, independence. Without it, what, I don't know, you're missing part of being a boy or a young man, I think.
Agree.
I'll add something. I think that's all great points. And as fathers, we tend to over control. I would say it's from a place of fear, right? We worry about our boys. We want them to obviously not get hurt or not have setbacks. But one thing I think is important that we have to realize is we're building, we're creating a young man, right? We're showing him the way. And I think one thing that I had to realize was that I don't want him to do good to validate me as a man, as a father. I want him to be his own person. I want him to have his own interests. And, you know, getting back to the rules thing and the control, I think when we are over controlling, we stop a lot of this natural process, right? We kill creativity. We kill the exploration of a child going out and learning and being who he is. And I think that's what you see now is you see a lot of fathers who, you know, they guide their kid in every aspect of their life. And then we turn on the TV and we see, you know, young men in the streets throwing rocks through police cars. And we wonder why they're doing that. Like why they have no direction in life and why are they so resistant to authority? Well, if you've been met with that authority and that force your whole life, you kill a part of that child. So this is, you know, going back to the free range and peaceful parenting, it's not about allowing your kid to do anything. It's about having them go out into the world and be committed to who they really want to be without any bullshit influence, right? The influence is us as men, as fathers. And again, it goes back to how you're living your life. Are you a man with value? Do you stand on principles? Do you have good morals? And I think sometimes we get discouraged or we get upset because we know deep down we might not be on the right path. So I think a lot of that pressure will be alleviated once we continue to do the work and we continue to be better men. And you'll see it in your kid. It's as simple as that for me sometimes.
You know, something to go with on the free range and rules and everything is you still have to have boundaries. Now, something I set up, you know, when he was younger, the boundary was the yard. You know, I wanted him with an eyesight where I could see him or whatever because he was little and he could get hurt and he didn't understand the cars going down the road. Then he learned how to ride his bicycle better, and then boundary increased. He was able to ride his down a block or two to his buddy's house. And then he got a little bit older and got wiser, and the cars came or whatever. And it's like, you know, if it's the normal part of the day and it's not, you know, 4 o'clock in the afternoon busy time driving, I didn't worry too much. Yeah, go ride farther or whatever. You know, the boundary now is I got a pretty fast highway just to the north of me. He's not allowed to cross that because why? We've had a lot of accidents by kids on bicycles and stuff. But the south, I've opened all up to him. I mean, he went and rode his bike for like 20, 30 miles the other day. And I remember when I was little, that's basically, you know, I have enough friends in my village that I get texts going, you know, your kid's down here. You know, he doesn't know they're coming, but stuff's like that happen. And I know when I was little and I was running all around town and everything, with my dad being the pastor, everybody knew him. So I really couldn't get away with anything because everyone would just go. So I had a lot larger range than most kids just because of the fact of, you know, and everybody. And I've tried to instill that. It's like, okay. And I think a lot of people have that fear. And there's days that I'm like, well, he's been gone 2-3 hours. Yeah, I might need to start worrying a little bit. And it's like, I wonder where he's at. But I'm not stressing it, you know. If you teach him how to go outside, just like, and this leads into what you were saying, Jerry, you got to let him push those boundaries. It's a hot day. He forgot to take his water with him on his bicycle. He comes back and he's famished. Well, I knew he could survive it, but it's like maybe you should take some water with you, especially on the long hauls. You know, put lighter colors on. And in each step and each time he goes farther out, you teach him. You know, Colton, I know you have boats and stuff, and you're going with those. You know, starting off in the little, everybody has a life jacket on. You know, as they get older and whatever, it's just a natural progression. It's like, do I have to wear one? Well, you know better than to sit in the back of the boat and not go climbing around when it's moving. You know, you have those aspects so they grow up and they can change, but they know the guidelines, rules and regulations to stay safe. And then that allows them to push against the boundaries and see how far they go. And that continues that growth. On one hand, they got to be kids. On the other hand, they got to be allowed to grow into men. And I don't know where I was going with that. That was just some thoughts.
I would say, Nathan, with that and what Anthony said, it's a great point. And as men, one of the things that's built into us is to protect. And so you have this tension that goes on inside of you as you're raising a boy into manhood. You have this tension that goes on where this is a natural thing for us to protect those that we love. Those that are closest to us. And so I find myself always challenging myself to say, okay, what could really happen here? Now, if it's life and death, I'm jumping. I'm in. I'm engaged. But if it's, hey, he's going to fall, tumble, break an arm, something like that, he's 17, man. Get after it. You know, and because I remember when he was really little, we would go do these climbs and mountains and stuff, and we'd be on trails that the drop off was pretty significant. And I would walk through and he'd tie a tether. I'd walk through and get myself in a position, and then he would come through. But I remember the day when I said, you don't need to wear that anymore. Man, you could just see his chest pump up, and he was like, man, I'm the man. You can just see it starting to happen in him. And so you have this tension, I think, as a father, where you are designed, you are made to protect. But at the same time, you're raising a young boy into a man. And so you have to allow them to spread their wings. You have to allow them to take some risk and do some things and you know, be free-range chickens, you know. And so that's healthy. And that's a great – I think that's just a great point that can't be overemphasized. That's such a big role when you're raising boys into manhood.
Go, Colton. I know you were trying.
The whole thing's making me think of, like, hey, Dad, can we use some wood to build a bike ramp? I'm like, absolutely, hell yeah. You might want to put it over there where it's a little downhill so you can go faster. And I'm going to stand to the side and watch. But in those cases, they actually did, and they wipe out, but now they go out and jump, and they've developed a skill in jumping their bikes. But otherwise, you don't have that skill. But if you ask mom or something, that's like, that's probably a no. You know, no, that's dangerous. So there's a line there between us being protective and looking out for their best interest, but letting them kind of spread their wings and go do their thing.
Yeah, I wasn't condoning letting your child do dangerous activities all the time.
And here we are. I don't know. I'm the dad that goes and builds ramps for him even when he doesn't ask. So,
and then, yeah, I helped him shore it up a little bit.
There you go. In the hill, that makes me chuckle because he was like, you know, I got a couple feet of air, Dad. How do we make this better? And I'm like, well, if we move it over here to this hill, if you jump off that hill, you'll get more air. Okay, let's do that.
Yeah, and that's the stuff I usually end up joining them and having fun with them. But yeah, you don't want to be intentionally dangerous. Like, can I climb the roof? Well, which side of the roof are we talking about? Because that one is clearly not the one you want to go up.
No, well, but that's a good point, though. You know, I convinced my son to go on the roof with me. You know, why? Well, here you go. This is how you walk on a roof. How many men do we know that won't even go up a roof or even past a couple steps on a ladder because they're scared of heights or whatever else, or they have that fear? It's like, okay, just get up on the roof. Now, if I leave a ladder against the roof, he's up there. You know, he knows not to run along the edge and he shouldn't jump off of it. You know, that bad things happen. But it's that good, yes, go do this. Yes, go climb that tree. You want to go play or do something? And, you know, this reminds me of something. And this wasn't that long ago. We were walking out in the woods, and we're going along, and it's a little bit of an eerie day, a little stormy out, and we're walking the dog, and he's looking out at the woods and stuff. And he turns around to me and goes, you know, the woods can be a scary place. And he goes, but yet you're never scared. And my answer back to him was, I'm the most dangerous thing out here. I fear nothing. And he goes, one day I'll have that same attitude. You know, and that's how you have to look at it. Because is there dangerous stuff in the woods? Oh, yeah, there is. But if you have that mentality going forth, and that was one of those teaching moments. One day he will be the most dangerous thing in the woods. And everything else should fear him. And it gives him that puffed up chest. That's what I was thinking of when he went and walked around. You know, he puffed up his chest and looked a little bit or whatever. And it's like, yep, he's breaking out of my shadow. Good. I don't want him in my shadow. I want him, you know, moving forward and becoming his own person. And then I think – and then let's switch gears here because I think this is important. And we've touched on this a little bit. Is on one hand, we have to let them go to become their own men. But on the other hand, you're not done. You have to be cognizant when they come to you and want to talk, or they have a question for you, there might be times you straight up and just have to stop what you're doing, because that's your moment to talk to them. And Anthony touched on it a little bit or whatever. Let's explore that a little, as in the sense, you know, how often do you feel that you miss those opportunities? Do you drop what you're doing, you know, within reason? You know, I mean, if you're working on underneath the car or something, you're not just going to quit. But within reason, you'd be like, okay, 5 minutes, or you set that little timeline, and then you make sure you make that time for them.
Yeah. No, you definitely have to. I try to make it a point with all my kids. You know, if they're talking to me, I stop what I'm doing. And it's something you have to catch yourself with, right? You have to be really aware of it. And it's, to me, it's parenting for the future. So how your relationship and the time that you make for your kids now is going to show up in 10 years and 20 years from now. And your kids are going to remember that. I'm sure we all remember, we're pretty clear how much attention our parents gave us or didn't give us. So it's, I think it's a solid foundation to a healthy relationship. And it's something that, you know, you have to kind of get down to the same level as your son. And what I mean level is, you know, he could be talking about something that you don't even care about, right? What a video game or, but whatever it is, to me, those are the greatest moments. Like, as soon as he opens up, I'm all ears. And I talk about this with my wife a lot. We'll be in a car with him, and he'll start talking, and I have no idea what he's talking about, but I'm listening intently, right? I want to understand his world as much as I can.
Do you ever ask your wife to Google something real fast and show you?
No, but I think that goes to the imagination and creativity and him being comfortable in his own skin, right? Being able to share with his parents these inner thoughts that, you know, I know for me a lot of times, you know, my image with my father was I always had to be stoic and tough. And, you know, I didn't want my father to think that I was weak or that I had weakness. And I get it, right? I understand that's how he was. His father was in the Navy and, you know, you had to be tough. And but at the same time, it made me more of a well-rounded man, because I saw that, all right, I might have this physical toughness, this appearance of being tough, but what do I need to work on? And I see my son the same way, right? I see he might not be as physically strong as me, but I see him tougher in other ways. And those are the positive attributes I see in that he's going to be able to bring to his family as a man. And I want to say too, this week, going back to what you guys are talking about letting them do dangerous things, my son broke his wrist for the third time this year riding a bike.
Man.
He was actually showing me videos in the woods of like jumps they're making, and he had a video of him wiping out. I was like, oh, that's awesome.
Nice.
Good stuff.
Yeah. And I have had to look up stuff my kids are talking about. But I put it in a place to understand them better. So, you know, if they're speaking and describing things, and I'm like, this is, might as well be Spanish. Let's take a step back. What is this? And I ask question, but that helps me dig back into and understand and, you know, get into their world a little bit. Whether I care about it or not doesn't even matter, but it educates me at least on what they're saying, so I'm not just nodding.
Do you find yourself when they're explaining things, I like it when he just goes off on a full tangent and tells me everything, you know, full on. And like you said, it's Spanish, but by the time he's done, I actually feel like I learned something. Do you ever have those moments?
Yeah, you just let them kind of, it's not a rant, I guess, what's the right word, but they're just, you know, they're on it and they're excited.
Yeah, excited.
I won't stop stuff like that. I'll come back to my questions like, okay, you know, after the fact. But yeah, son, that's good stuff there.
Yeah, my son does that he does that. He gets on something and he will just go and go and go. And I have really learned to appreciate it because we're different. You know, we're different. The way we approach life is different. And I have learned and continue to learn to really appreciate his viewpoint and how he digs into things in detail. I've been driving in the truck before where he's in the back seat, mom's there, and he starts talking about something, and I would swear he's reading it from a book. He's got so many details in such an order. I'm like, I didn't know he brought a book in here with him. And so I've learned to appreciate that. One of the things that Anthony has certainly helped me with, and I'd be the first one to admit it's a work in progress related to what we're talking about, is engage and be present. Engage and be present. I tend to be such a driven person. Sometimes I get on something, I got a goal, and I'm just going after it. And one of the things that makes me successful on one side is I don't get derailed. But it's also a challenge in relationships, like with my son, is that determination to not get derailed. Sometimes I'm not present. And so I have to be purposeful. Those two points have resonated with me in helping me do that. I think often when I'm around my son, engage, be present. Engage, be present. And it has helped our relationship a lot. When we work out together, hey, bud, he loves music, and his music tastes are very different than mine, but I've learned to love a lot of the things that he loves, you know? And so I'm like, get your music, let's go work out. And so he loves being the one to put the music on, and, you know, and he tells me all these things about the song. Did you know this song was written at this time? And this is the reason why the guy wrote it and this, that, whatever. And I'm like, it's great. So anyway, that engage and be present, I think is that's what builds that relationship that will last far beyond, you know, when they leave the house and they go on to their own life. The amount of time that we engaged and were present is going to determine what that relationship looks like in the future, in my opinion. And that's what I'm learning. That's what I'm trying to be better at, is just that whole idea. And when boys go through the teenage years, they face a lot of hardships and they go through a lot of changes. And if we can learn how to engage and be present and do that really well, we're the guy that they're going to come to when they got questions and when they're facing things. And then it's time to talk to them like man to man. Hey, bud, you're not the only one that goes through this. We all do. So let's talk about how we meet this challenge. And so, you know, when your son comes to you and asks you questions about something deep like that, man, there's no feeling like that. That's the best part about being a dad. One of the best parts, anyway.
Yes, I cherish those moments.
Absolutely.
In this day and age, I see a lot of fathers that when they're working it are breaking the cycles from our own. That seems to be a big one. We're all here all relatively in a similar age group. And we've talked before about, similar circumstances. And yes, when you go back, most of our fathers were much harder on us than we are on our kids. But on the same token, having conversations with my dad later on in life, he freely admitted I did a whole lot of things wrong. So after the fact, we went through and he was like, here's the things that I did wrong and you can improve on with your own son. So, you know, it wasn't a failure that kept us down. It was a failure that made us stronger. Him and I became very close in our later years because we worked through all that stuff. And then in the process of it, it made me be a better father because it turned around and went, okay, I can break this cycle. I can fix that. And I think that's something that a lot of fathers out there can look at doing now is how you were raised doesn't mean that's how you have to raise your sons. Every man that listens to this, every man that's having kids, you have the power to break the cycle and, you know, make him better and grow and everything. You don't have to be that hard ass. And you don't use the excuse, well, that's how I was raised. Well, how you were raised might have been full on wrong. Your dad just may not have, you know, admitted to it, never will. And that's something I think each guy has to look at. And it goes back to Anthony was talking, we work on ourselves. We work on ourselves internally and make us better. And that turns around, and then that's how we break our cycles going for our own sons. And hopefully that will give them emotional stability, more strength, more power. They'll be their own person. They'll be a free thinker. And I think that has a lot of growth potential, especially going into the years to come with them trying to shove all this BS down our throats every day with all the crap and everything. You need to teach your sons to think for themselves and not just go along with the narrative and the herd or the swarm of locusts. Here I am going off on rants and tangents again.
I think that cycle though is important because I hear that all the time, even, you know, from like other family members or my wife, you know, that's how I was raised. This is how it was done. It's the same thing in like workplaces too, that is just because how something's always been done doesn't mean it was even a good idea in the first place or that it was that effective. So like I would follow in some of my dad's traits, not even really knowing it or thinking about it because it's, you know, it's what I knew or kind of fell back on. And kind of intentionally had to think about some of that is, why am I doing this? Is this productive for my kids? I didn't like it. Why would I repeat it? So that's where you can kind of pave a new way. But if you don't think about it and you're on autopilot and you just kind of, you just rinse and repeat. It's cruise control, right? Like
exactly. And I think I've grown more as the years gone on by talking to other fathers, you know, bringing these subjects to light. I mean, we talk about it in the Fraternity of Excellence all the time, and that growth, that strength, we learn from each other. You know, if you're just going off of status quo and what you learned and, I don't know, a blog post here and there or, you know, what they tell you to on TV, which portrays, you know, the father is this horrible figure, then you're going down the wrong path. You know, you need that good, strong masculine, and you should be talking and asking questions. You know, as fathers, we need to ask questions of other fathers. If you see someone else doing something stupid or you think they're treating their son like crap, you should look at your own self and go, am I doing that? You know, I don't like what he's doing to his son, but it might, you know, it's a, and you need to start working on it. Massive changes don't happen. You got to take those little steps day in and day out to make positive changes over time.
I think, you know, Nathan, my challenge was a little different. I had a great father, and he did a lot of things that I think the older I got, the more I realized how good they were. The challenge was a little bit different for me, because I saw those things modeled, and they were modeled, and I saw specific things that seemed to work really well to molding myself and my brother into manhood. But my son's different. He's a different personality, and so I find myself making sure that I don't fall into the same mold that, you know, how I was raised, because of who I am and who my brother is versus who my son is. In other words, trying not to force him into this mold of, hey, you know, I enjoy these things. So this way of raising a son, you know, it should work for you also. And early in my time as a father, I found myself doing that. And I have since stepped back and said, hang on, man, you are doing some things that are suppressing some things about your son that are really great. And you shouldn't, you know, I found myself kind of pushing him into a mold that wasn't him. And since I've realized that and stepped away and took a different approach to that, you know, I've appreciated him and I see him growing more. And so to me, it was a little bit different from what you're talking about, though the thing you're talking about is very prevalent, having worked with men a lot. You know, breaking that cycle is very real and it's a part of many men's lives. But it's a little different angle for me.
See, that sounds like my brothers. There was a decade between me and my next brother. And what you're describing is my dad learned on me. You know, I was the playbook. And then he turned around and my brothers were raised completely different, more along the lines of what you're saying. So. And that is a solid point, but they had to grow on their own. You know, it's recognizing that fact, allowing them to be each personality. Go, Anthony. I know you got something in there.
I got a little something. No, just in line with everything that you guys have been mentioning. You know, by the way, I love being here and talking to you guys. This is great. You know, as far as what Jerry was saying and Colton was talking about, I think it's, for me, you know, that process of becoming a better man and knowing who you are and really living with virtue, right, with goodness in your life, I think that's the solid foundation where you have to start. And I think what that does, it will allow you to, you know, build an environment in your home where instead of being reactive and instead of everything seen as a problem, you're going to focus more on solutions, right? When there is, you know, you're not just covering things up, right? You're trying to fix things. It's kind of like, let's say your kid kicks a soccer ball through the sheetrock, puts a big hole in the wall. Most dads, what they do is they'll just hang a poster over it, right? So now there's no more hole. Where you really have to go out, you have to get some spackle and you have to do some hard work to make it look good. You're really making a repair. And I think what we have in our culture now and in society is everything's a quick fix, right? We were talking about being present with our kids and listening to them. You know, you see it all the time out in public, people just shooing their kids away. Like, don't bother me. I don't have time for you. So I think this is something as we have more and more conversations with fathers that we just have to be aware of. Like, being a dad is not easy. And it's tough work to be a really good dad, to be strong, to be capable and really lead your family. And I think that we have to take more pride in that as men in society. That's something that we need to come back to. Right. Instead of what you were saying before on TV, they portray dads as stupid and lazy. And, you know, you watch TV, a movie or a TV show now, and the dads never have the answers. It's always the kids or the wife figuring something out. And the dad's like, oh, you know, like he's the one who needs help, which I think completely, you know, gets away from the purpose of having a strong, capable father who's leading. So, yeah, I definitely think these are the conversations we need to have, and fathers need to hold other fathers accountable to higher standards. That's it.
That's all I got. That's it. That's a solid note, though. All right, we're coming around. I think we've hit this. And anyone listening to today's podcast, I hope you gleaned something from it. You had some ideas. drop some lines or notes. Let's go with this. Start with Colton. Where can we find you? Are you out there in the social media world?
A little bit. I'm fairly quiet. I tend to focus on fitness and some other basic things, I guess. But I'm on Twitter, Colton D. Great. Instagram is the same. Even found Parler, so going that route.
Parler, the new. Yes, we're getting on there. Jerry, where can we find you at?
I'm at Twitter under @men_of_grit. I also have a blog, menofgrit.blog, that I've started recently. And there's actually an article in there about boys to manhood and some of my experience with my dad. So relates directly to what we're talking about.
Anthony. Anthony's got all kinds of things going on. Where are you at now, Anthony?
All good stuff, too.
We are at peacefulfathers.com. That's the new site. We're having a little technical difficulties at the moment, but we're working on it. You know, blogging is not easy. Creating websites are not easy. So that's why we do it. And I'm at Peaceful Fathers on Twitter, on Instagram. It's my name, Anthony Miglerino. Easy to remember. But yeah, we're building here. Within FOE, Barbarian Rhetoric, there's a lot of good things happening, a lot of projects that men are sharing really good insight on how to be better fathers, how to raise our kids better. So I'm excited about all the projects. I'm excited, you know, talking to you guys every day, every week. It's been a great experience.
And only more great things to come. So thank you, everyone, for listening, and you have a wonderful day.